لا الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the greatest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is the blessing of the Qur'an. It is His own noble and exalted speech. It is the very kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. This is such a great ni'mah that if we were to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the day that we were born to the day that we were died, we would not be able to thank Him appropriately or adequately because of the enormity of this blessing. Now it would behoove a person who has been given such a great blessing, such a great gift, to utilize that gift, to engage with that gift, to interact with that gift, to utilize that gift, and not to ignore it. Because one of the ways that one shows disrespect to the one who gives a gift is to throw that gift away, to misuse that gift, to ignore that gift. A person who gives a gift likes for it to be used. He likes for it to be respected, to be honored, to be venerated. And when that is not the case, then the person who has gifted the other person would, I mean, if it was a human, they would feel hurt, right? They would feel anguish, right? They would feel saddened that a person is not utilizing the beautiful gift that I have given them. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of any of His creation. We are the one who are in need of Him. But putting that aside, if we say that we don't interact with the Qur'an or we're not interacting with the Qur'an on a daily basis, what a poor adab, what a poor etiquette this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. No single day of our life should go by except that we have some type of interaction with the Qur'an. And let no person make the argument or make the excuse or the rationalization that I just don't have time. Right? I just don't have time. If people have time on a daily basis to check their email, right, which is the kalam of another human being, if people have time on a daily basis to read the news, if they have time on a daily basis to listen to NPR and this talk show and that talk show, if people have time to call their parents or their friends, if people have time to converse with other people, then why do not they have time to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There really isn't any very good excuse about a person not interacting with the Qur'an on a daily basis other than their own ghafla, their own heedlessness, or their own laziness. And heedlessness and laziness, right, as loathsome as they are as characteristics, that loathsomeness becomes amplified when you look at it through the lens, when you look at it through a lens of being having a gift, a beautiful gem, a diamond with us, right, and we actually denigrate it and disrespect it by not interacting with it. قَوْمٌ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. There is a nation that has abandoned this Qur'an. And we don't want to be amongst those who abandon the Qur'an. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, if I'm not mistaken, it was his interpretation that those people who don't at least finish two khatams in a year are included in this category of those who abandon the Qur'an. Right, at least two reading, going through the whole Qur'an at least twice in a year. And it's not very much if you do it on a daily basis. It's not very much if you do it on a daily basis. But if our interaction with the Qur'an is only once here and once there, then, you know, it is very difficult sometimes for people to hit the two khatam mark, right, two full completions of the Qur'an. And when one does sit and interact with the Qur'an, they should make it, right, they should make it a beautiful experience, a beautiful occasion, full of adab, full of etiquette, full of love. It's not something that someone is being forced to do, not something that is a chore, it is not something which should be taken as a huge responsibility or a burden, right? Because if you look at it as that way, right? If, for example, I give I work very, very, very hard. I come home and, you know, I spent a lot of money and bought a beautiful book that, you know, is very interesting, and I know my son will love it, and I give it the book to my son, and then he just throws it in the side of the room, right? And I said, I really wanted you to read that, right? I worked very hard for you to get that. And he said, oh, I'm not interested. And then I say, no, you are going to read it because it's good for you. And then he's reading it and he's making faces and half his heart is in it and half his heart isn't in it. I say, you know what? You don't need to read it, right? You can go on your merry way, do whatever you want. I'd rather give this to someone who actually values it. We have to be very careful that we don't fall into, all right, that's a hypothetical example, but we want to be very careful that we don't fall into that category of people who become like that with the Quran. That they devalue it to such a level, that they disrespect it to such a level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know what, you don't have even qadr for it. Why should I allow you to even read it daily? Because reading it daily, interacting with it daily, is a blessing, right? It's actually a blessing. It's not something that, it actually comes with the tawfiq, by the hidayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does give someone to regularly interact with the Qur'an, then the one thing that they should keep in mind is they should make that circumstance, make that experience one that is full of love. Make that a positive experience. And one of the ways that we do that is we fill that interaction with the Qur'an with adab. Meaning that when we sit, we should sit in a state of wudu. Right? Obviously, you have to be in a state of wudu to actually touch the Qur'an. But it's also good etiquette, right, to be in a state of purity. You should wear nice clothes, you should do miswak, you should, if you put on idr, you know, because you're listening to the kalam of Allah, you're listening to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you're actually reading, and probably very importantly, when you're actually reading it, you should read it as a living text, right? It's not something that is just abstract, but you should allow the Qur'an, and that's part of the reason that we're studying Arabic, is that we should allow the Qur'an to speak to us. Right, it's not the Quran that's speaking to us, it is Allah that is speaking to us. Right? It's not something which is just, oh, this story and that story. It is really an interaction. And when one becomes very deep in their interaction with the Quran, then they will really feel as if they are conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. Right? In salah we are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But over here when you're reading the Quran, you will feel also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you. Right? So who would not want to enjoy that type of experience? Who would not want to, you know, benefit and facilitate that type of occasion to have a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal? And then one of the adab of reading the Qur'an is when a person comes to an ayah of adab or takhweef, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, an ayah of punishment, an ayah that creates fear and anxiety, then a person makes dua that, Ya Allah, don't make me amongst these people. And then when a person comes to an ayah of rahmah, of raja, of hope, then a person also makes a befitting dua for that. In fact, Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Habib, Ghulam Habib, rahmatullah alayh, my teacher's teacher, it was said that when he would read the Qur'an, he would start from Fatiha, and after every single ayah, he would stop and make dua. And during making a dua that was appropriate, that was munasib to that ayah, and in such a way, he completed the Qur'an from Surah Fatiha all the way to Surah Nas. Imagine how deep their interaction with the Qur'an was. Right? They really felt that it was a conversation. It wasn't just something which was read and you want to put it back on the shelf. That you should take as much pleasure from every ayah of the Qur'an, right? Every ayah of the Qur'an as maybe one of us may take from a lick of ice cream, right? From Cold Stone or Breyers or any other flavor. That type of pleasure that a person experiences, that same type of pleasure a person experiences when he reads every ayah of the Qur'an. And another adab of the Qur'an is that when you come to the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates in the Qur'an, because much of the Qur'an consists of tales past, of people past, the idea is not to allow it to become an abstraction, but to try to make it real, to find lessons in one's own life. Right? First we should regard it as true. Right? The historical veracity of those tales, of those stories, cannot be questioned in any way, shape, form, or manner. If a person is willing to, you know, believe CNN, are they not willing to believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed a nation for a certain sin, then He truly destroyed them. Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished such and such nation for such and such sin, then He truly punished them. And if it has happened in the past, then it can happen in the present as well. Right? We should be very careful. And the beautiful thing that in the Quran is just layer on top of layer on top of layer of meaning. It's like an onion skin. When you take off one layer, then you find out there's another layer underneath it. And then you take out the next layer, and then you find out another layer. And there's just depth upon depth upon depth. You know, we take this simple story, and just to give an example, right? So then we'll end with this example. You know, many of us, for example, we've gone to Sunday school. We heard from our parents the story of Nuh alayhi salam. But in that story, and every aspect of his life, there are practical examples that can literally transform a person's life, right? You take a person, right? Now, many of us have taken sort of a turn in our own lives, right? Where we want to get closer to Allah, we want to become better Muslims. And when we take that turn, then we look around and then we look back and we say, oh, there's this family member, there's this friend. I want all of them to be also enjoying what I'm enjoying. I want them to come on this side too, right? Everyone, I mean, generally people have this and they're like, how do I do it, right? So then you tell them you should make dua for them. And then, you know, and people find it very difficult. You know, it's very easy to get up and give a lecture, but people find it very difficult to give da'wah to their own family. Right? People find it very difficult to give da'wah to their own friends because it's so close, right? It's so close, and there's many other reasons why it's so difficult. But imagine this prophet, right? And especially when we actually sometimes even gather enough courage to actually say it, and then they don't really pay attention or they brush it to the side, then we say, oh, they're not going to listen anyway, right? There's no point in it. Right, I mean, if they're just, it's just going to drive them away. I mean, you have to use hikmah, that's a different issue. But then people give up very easily, right? They stop making dua for them, they start thinking, oh, they're not going to come around, right? Take this prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 950 years he was alive. Imagine how, and he spent hundreds of years calling the same people to worship one Allah. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَاطِعُونَ Right? Follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple message. Day and night, he's calling to him. And he did, إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا
فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا
That I called them day and night. And imagine when he would be calling them, they used to stick their fingers in their ears so that they couldn't listen to what he had to say. None of our family members, none of our friends ever showed us that bad of a, you know, of an etiquette or that bad of a behavior or comportment that they actually stuck in their fingers in their ears and say, we don't want to listen to what you got to say. At least they hear us out, right? At least they hear us out. And this prophet, right? وَأَسْرَتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَارًا He just used to say that, just make tawbah. Just say sorry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll forgive you. Giving them hope, giving them support, showing them the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as much as people wanted to go away from the deen, it was his rahmah, it was his compassion. He wasn't stuffing deen down their throat, right? It wasn't caustic, it wasn't rough. There was a love to it. Right, there was a love to it, and that's why it was beautiful. Right, that's why it was beautiful. So this same prophet, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ Do not talk to me about these people, right, who have transgressed. They're going to be drowned. So what did he do? He started building an ark. He's building an ark when there's no water around, right? So for all the world, he actually looks like a total, and for lack of a better word, a weirdo. It doesn't make any sense. Why is a person, right? It's like someone who's sitting in summer and making an igloo. And they say, this guy's gone crazy, right? And so literally to the rest of the world, this person looked crazy, right? This person looked crazy. In fact, they would walk by, they'd sit and laugh at these people. This, look at this person. He's building an ark in the middle of nowhere on land. I mean, there's not even water around here, right? So, that, I mean, it just didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. But it was his yaqeen. It was his firm rootedness in the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he said, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is true. If it's day outside, if it was night, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's night, then it's night. They had this type of yaqeen. Right? So he said, innahum mukhraqoon, they're going to be drowned. And he was told, right, to make an ark. So he said, I'm going to follow the wahi. I'm going to follow whatever was revealed unto me. And he started doing that, even though according to reality, right, according to logic, according to rationale, it made no sense. And so similarly, in this day and age, when we do things in the deen, they say, oh, why do you make ruku? Why do you do sajda? Why do you have to fast? Why do you wear a hat? Why do you wear these long clothes? Why do you grow your beard? Why do you have to wear a hijab? How come you can't talk to girls? How come you can't eat this? Why is pork not okay? And they ask question after question after question, and sometimes people don't have an answer. But the real answer is, so what? Right? Let them laugh. Right? Just like the people of Nuh used to laugh, let them laugh. Right? Because we know from wahi, right? We know from revelation that we're on the right. And you know what happens is that when the rain starts falling and when the adab comes, inshallah, those who had stuck to the sunnah of Rasulullah, those who had stuck to the Quran, they'll end up not being drowned. Right? You're keeping yourself out of the ocean, out of the drowning waters of sin by holding on to the Quran and sunnah. So let people laugh. Right? Lesson after lesson after lesson. When he says, قَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرِيهَا وَمُرْصَاهَا, there's a lesson in that. You know, in the interest of time, we won't go through all of them. But then, if you follow that same ayah right after the قَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرِيهَا وَمُرْصَاهَا إِنَّ رَبِّي لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ. So, it starts to rain, right? And then it starts to rain, and they're in the ark, right? And then the son of Nuh, alayhi salam, right? He starts running up. He's spotted by Nuh alayhi salam, right? Wanada Nuh ibnahu, and Nuh he called out to his son, right? Wanada Nuh ibnahu wa kana fi ma'zili ya bunayya arkam ma'ana ya bunayya. Bunayya, if you have a son, a child, you can call him walid, you say ibni, but if you want to say it with, like, you want to make it full of love, you say bunayya. Right? So he was calling him with all the compassion that a father can call his child with. Ya bunayya arkam ma'ana. Right? Wala takum min al-kafirin. He says, come, get on the boat. Come, follow the sunnah. Right? Come and follow the sharia. Right? Try to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have to wakal on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's calling us, right? Just like Rasulullah s.a.w. is calling us to get on the boat. Right? He says, come. Right? وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَنَا مَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَنِي يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. So what did the son say? The son was a rationalist. He was just as rational and quote-unquote intellectual as all the people we find around ourselves in the 21st century. He's like the college students these days, or the doctors, right, who have their nice professions. They say, oh, you know, that doesn't make any sense. What did the son say? He said, I'm going to go to this mountain. This mountain's going to save me. سَأَوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. This mountain will save me from the water. So what people do is when they come into some type of difficult situation in their life, they say that we'll fix it. Right? I'll figure it out. Right? When I get sick, I'll go to the doctor. Right? If I have a test, then I'll study for it. When the first response should not be I anything. First thing is that like Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi said, that when a person falls sick, the first thing he should do is make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, you cure me. Then you go to the doctor. But the first step is the step with Allah. Right? When people become to have too much yaqeen, too much faith, too much, you know, conviction in the material or existential world, right? They start becoming farther and farther from having reliance and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. Right? Our reliance, our hopes, our success only lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no mountain which can hold us up from the flood of affliction when it comes upon us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no mountain that will hold us up. Right? There's no mountain that will save us from this flood. Right? ونادى نوح ابنه وكان في مأزن يا بني اركب معنا ولا تكن مع الكافرين قال سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء قال لا أعصم اليوم من أمر الله إلا من رحم وحال بينهم الموج فكان من المغرقين. So he was having this conversation with his son, right? And then Nuh alayhi salam saying this, لا أعصم اليوم من أمر الله. There's nothing that can save you from something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained. And as they were having this conversation, a wave came between him and his father. And it overcame him, and he was drowned in the water. That was the end of him. Right? That was the end of him. Now all of us, if we don't have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of affliction, in times of sadness, in times of whatever that sadness or trouble might be, then we're also going to get drowned in sadness, drowned in depression. That's why people get frustrated. That's why people get depressed. The way you get out of that is stop trying to climb the mountain and you just get on the boat. Just get on the boat. The boat will take you to safety. Right? This is just a few examples, right, that come to mind from the story of Nuh, right? And actually, if you look at it, every ayah, there's a sign in it for us. But just to give us an inkling of how we can read these stories, right, and take practical lessons that can literally change the way that we live our daily life, right, and find pertinence and relevance in a way which is deeper than any other thing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to become amongst those who actively and persistently, consistently interact with the Quran on a daily basis, inshallah. If it's 20 minutes, it's actually the recommended. If one can't do 20 minutes, our ustaz used to say 3 juz a day, right? 3 paras a day. If you can't, then 1 para. If you can't, then try to put 20 minutes. If you can't put 20 minutes, then put whatever you can, 5 minutes. And if you have no time to even read the Quran, then at the very least, they say that at least you look at the Quran, you pick up the Quran, hold it in your hand, and look at it with love, and then even if you put it back. But just keep that connection on a daily basis. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the Ahlul Quran and allow us to live and die and be raised with the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.